words, and I do pray that you'd help us to understand them and help us to be honest, sincere in our Bible study, and help us to be yielded to the Spirit of God as He teaches us and guides us in into all truth. We claim that promise. And in order to claim that promise, Lord, we got to meet the obligations, have a sincere heart, humble mind, willing spirit, and honest. And I pray you'd help us to have that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, this chapter, the 17 verses, there are several, I believe, deceptive ideas, ideas that are not rooted in truth, found in this chapter, probably more so than any chapter of Paul's writings. In verse 2 and 3, some folks believe that you have to have the Antichrist be revealed, because it says falling away and the man of sin be revealed. And this will give a little authority, I guess you could say, when you twist it a little bit, to people who believe the church is going into the tribulation or mid-tribbers. We call them mid-tribbers. Okay, so that's the two verses that they really hang their head on, those two verses. Okay, in verse 7 is one that is often taught, that the Holy Ghost will be withdrawn from the earth during the tribulation time period, and He'll not be here on earth, somehow not being omnipresent anymore. Okay, so that's the verse that's used for that idea. Okay, also in verse 7, that is the main or the first passage that was used to justify updating the King James Bible. Okay, back in 1880s, Westcott and Hort assembled some people. One of those people was a fella in charge of like an orphanages, an orphan. And he went into hiding because there were some pretty raunchy allegations against this guy. And so he went into hiding for a decade. And so they pulled him out to have that individual help them with revising the Bible. Okay, so that's Westcott and Hort. But chapter 2, verse 7 is the passage with all those lets. That's what they used to begin the new Bibles. Okay, Revised Version was the first one, 1881, and then American Standard Version, 1901. And then in the 1950s, they started coming out like candy. 1950s, Thomas Nelson Publishers owned the rights to the American Standard Version. It went bankrupt, and they owned the rights to the new Revised Standard Version. It went bankrupt. Now they're the owners of the New King James. And who else owns that? Who is the owner of this company? Zondervan's. And who's the owner of that? Rupert Murdoch. Fine, outstanding believer. He also owns the rights to the NIV. And he owns the rights to this Anton LaVey's Satanic Bible. Isn't that quite a thing? Well, it's both sides of the fence. Is it investing on both? That's about like the bankers did in the past. Invest on both sides of the war. Okay, and then and then verse 9, 10. And it's amazing, in this chapter, you have these deceivable ideas, but yet in this chapter, it shows how men are deceived. And it shows that if they go far down that road of deception, then God gets involved in the deception. Okay, you say He cannot lie. I know He cannot lie, but He sends spirits to do that bidding. And that's illustrated in the Old Testament. And then verse 15 is a passage that Catholics will use to justify all of their traditions. And I've actually had one bring that up to me, and I said to him, he said, you know that one verse? And I said, what verse are you talking about? And he said, well, you should know where that's at. I said, well, give me the gist of what you're saying. And then I flipped to it. And I said, that one. He said, yeah, that one, that one. I said, well, if you want to use that to justify tradition that contrary to the Bible, you're welcome to do that. But this passage is saying that if a tradition doesn't contradict the Bible, then it's okay. Like Sunday school. Okay, there's no scripture that says we should have age-segregated Sunday school classes. And there is a group that do believe that that's wrong for us to have a Sunday school class, age-segregated, saying that came from the school system. Okay, and so then what they do is they have one class for everybody. And what level do they have to teach to? 4 and 5 year olds. So all these adults are sitting there, getting this stuff that's for 4 and 5 year olds. The Sunday school is not a tradition that contradicts the Bible. I don't think we're going to get to heaven. I apologize that we had classes for Sunday school kids. But that is an idea. Okay, now if the tradition contradicts the Bible, that's where Mark 7 steps in play. We said take the tradition and throw it out. Okay, so back there, it starts off in verse 1, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. So you have two separate ideas there, second coming and our gathering unto him in the clouds. And what is going to be the, that's my stomach. It's that cake we had this afternoon. Oh, hear it again? Yes, yes. And so in verse 3, one of the greatest things is let no man deceive you by any means. Boy, do we not live in a day of deception. Okay, does anybody know the call letters of the ship that was stuck in the Suez Canal? The call letters. H3RC. Drop to 3. HRC, Hillary Rodham Clinton. The tugboat, the first tugboat that came to try to pull it out was called Baraka. The second, third, and fourth tugboat was called Mossad, the Jewish Mossad. Isn't that interesting to think about? And what was on that ship? Evergreen. Evergreen, Evergreen, that's a company that's associated with Hillary Clinton. Evergreen in a containers are often children and human trafficking. Now, this may come out. I don't know. It depends how far down that rabbit hole you want to go. Okay, but it's amazing. We went up to O'Hare and they had a big marquee on a thing, that thing that flashes in and says about human trafficking. And the only one that brought that to light was President Trump. And in the Bible, of course, it shows it. In Revelation 18:13, the Mystery Babylon church has slaves. It's only found twice in the Bible the word slaves. And then if you take that back to Ezekiel 28, the word traffic is associated with the anointed cherub. And that's what they call human trafficking, drug trafficking, liquor traffic. And boy, we live in an amazing age. And so a person has to see that something is very, very strange going on. Very strange. And are we going to come out of this rabbit hole? I'm hoping still. I don't know. But, it's the Lord's will. I dare say we need to keep praying. Okay, so verse 3, deception. It is easier today to deceive people than to convince them they have been deceived. Just try it with one with a mask. You really think that's helping you to breathe your bad breath all the time? Okay, or the vaccine. It's not even a vaccine. It's an experimental. I mean, just that area. And you see people's eyes just kind of go in a funk. And then if you go to the church and start telling them, well, that book right there is not a Bible. What? Yeah, that book's not a Bible. That book exalts Lucifer instead of Jesus Christ. And you point that out. Well, I don't know what you're talking about. It's just amazing that the deception that's going on, and with digital and videos, it is so easy. They could take your picture and my picture, and we could show up in South America and never even been there on cameras and make it look like it. I don't know if any of you have seen some of the video footage of Biden. If you just examine it, boy, this was not this. And you can see there's a mask right here. Somebody's acting. It's really weird what's going on. Oh. And it looks like a real person there. Yeah, there was one like with Biden when he's kind of, it looks like he's walking there and all of a sudden somebody's hand passes through him. How does that work? Now, you see, the military has the technology that they are planning to project holograms to fake a rapture, be part of the deception. So, man, thank God we got the hope of the words of God. That's for sure. So, deception, verse 2. And the devil is going to deceive the entire world, Revelation 12 says. So, now here it shows how he will do it. But if your Bibles change this, then they don't know how he's going to do it. Okay, so in, let's see, verse 3, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, comma, and that man of sin revealed the son of perdition. So the mid-tribbers believe that they have to see the Antichrist before, okay, but they overlook at the word first and comma, the Bible could jump several years. And besides, then that would overrule the 70 weeks of Daniel, which are determined upon Israel and Jerusalem, not the church. So when you get across a complex verse like this, the rule of thumb is you never allow the complex to overrule the simple. Okay, the exception proves the rule. Okay, the big thing is, they say, men are like women, women are like men. There's an equality. And in NCAA, I'll bet you anybody who's watching March Madness, I'll bet you it's 10 to 1 watching the men over the women. If some of them women are what they are. Who knows what they are. And then they're complaining about not being equal. Okay, then have the same basketball. Same size. Okay, and all this stuff. Okay, I thought it was so funny where this one T-shirt was being sold and a rainbow on it, and the T-shirt had on a caption, there are many genders, but when you buy it, you had to click over here to buy it, male or female. Why did they have male, female, unknown? I mean, it's just so illogical. They claim to believe in science, but yet science overthrows what they believe. So in verse 4, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, man of sin. So the Pope is practicing. He calls himself Most Holy Father. Jesus called God Holy Father. The Pope's most holy, so he's above God. Above all that is called God and that is worship, so that he, as God, sitteth in the church of God. It's temple because it's Jewish. Those people will read through the Old or Revelation about, the church going into the tribulation, and they'll read about a Jewish altar, they'll read about Jerusalem, they'll read about the temple, and then they think that the church is going into the tribulation. Amazing. Some of them have hightailed it out of Dodge already, trying to figure out where they could hide. And so, hey, if they're going to go to the right place, they need to go to Jordan. So, or that is worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Okay, so that's the Antichrist going into the Jewish temple. He would declare himself to be God. Now the Pope, when he speaks ex cathedra, their doctrine teaches that he is speaking equal to God. So when the Antichrist goes into the Jewish temple, declare himself to be God, that's a trigger for the Jewish 144,000. That's a trigger for them. Oh, we've been hoodwinked because it's idolatry. Because that's why they crucified Jesus for blasphemy, claiming himself to be God, and he is God. But when the Antichrist does that, that's going to be their trigger, eyes wide open. Okay, and so that's, and that point when they rebel, and I'm believing, you know, Israel right now, I think Israel, they say, is 50% vaccinated. And you can't go in Israel today. I mentioned this morning, if you can take a trip to Israel, you can't go there because it's got all this vaccine stuff. I'm kind of thinking, whoa, what if this is the devil where in Exodus, before the Exodus, Pharaoh tried messing up the seed. And then with Herod, he tried messing up the seed, is involved with Jesus. And is this not the devil trying to mess up with the RNA or the seed of them 144,000? Man, I don't know. It kind of fits in pretty good. So this is the Jewish temple. So he's going to declare himself God when the Jews rebel against that. Okay, when they say, oh, no, you're not, then he's going to have his soldiers and they're going to grab whoever they can and they're going to offer up a human sacrifice in a Jewish temple. Drink his blood, eat his flesh. Now, the Catholic Church pretended to do it. They pretend to do it. And we know they're pretending. Okay, but he's going to do it literally. Now, a lot of people who kind of got doctrine a little bit goofy where they say Titus committed the unpardonable sin or the abomination when he offered up a pig in the Jewish temple, okay, before they destroyed the Jewish temple. Now, it's farther worse. It's much worse than that. Evidence of that is the fifth seal judgment, Revelation chapter 6, where there are souls under the altar. That's a Jewish altar. That is a massacre of Jewish evangelists. Of the 144,000, if you take this passage in Nehemiah, Nehemiah 9 or 10, a tenth of them, 14,000 of them, 14,400, will voluntarily stay in Israel knowing that they're going to be sacrificed, and the rest take off. They take off throughout the world. They have instant knowledge of languages without babble on their cell phone. The gift of language, the gift of tongue comes back in play. If they drink a deadly thing, it will not hurt them. That comes back in play because all these are Jewish sign gifts. Okay, and I'm kind of thinking that if somebody has so-called the mark of the beast and say if they get leprosy as Revelation predicts, maybe it'd be like Naaman, where if they followed the lead of a Jewish evangelist and got baptized like Naaman, where he was healed of his leprosy. So that's, you know, that's not a dogmatic thing. I don't think we can be dogmatic on it, but still the idea is present there. Because it says in Revelation, if you look at each of the time the word mark of the beast shows up in Revelation, the ones that will go to hell, it says they took the mark and worshiped his image. I'm of the belief that if they force it, okay, they take the mark, that's forced upon them, but when they worship, that's choosing. That's a choosing. Now, I wouldn't want to, you know, I'm not going to have to worry about it. But if I was somebody in a trib, I'd still not take the mark just for safety's sake. Okay, but no doubt they'd force it on people. So in verse 4, the Antichrist says, this, remember not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. So he told the Thessalonians this. And now ye know what withholdeth that he may be revealed in his time. So something is holding this back. And so the teaching is, what's holding it back from this wicked, what holding it is the Holy Ghost. Okay, so that's what their thinking is. And so when he is pulled out, then they'll be able to go forward. I'm not so sure of that. I do know the Holy Ghost will be here because he's omnipresent. I do believe he will change his methods like it did in the Old Testament, where he had a come and go ministry with individuals. And this is why all those warnings in Hebrews about not drawing back. So I do believe that he changes that, but I don't believe the Holy Ghost is going to, he's omnipresent. Okay, the withholding is one of two things. It could be the influence of the church, and when the church is pulled out, then this evil has free realm. But also, I also kind of think that, okay, when Judas Iscariot was going to betray Christ, what happened before he betrayed Christ? The devil came in him. You don't send a boy to do a man's job. So just as you and I in our flesh can hinder the work of God, unsaved people can hinder the work of the devils because they don't comply. But yet when the devil comes in, okay, that's when they've been totally yielded, given over. So either way, Brother Paul? Yeah, I would say, yeah, yeah. So, okay, so then, now let's hit that verse 7. Okay, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Okay, so this is one of the seven major mysteries in the Bible, in the New Testament, I should say. Jesus gave seven mysteries in Matthew 13 for the kingdom of heaven. And Paul and John gave seven mysteries for the church time period. Okay, this is one of them, mystery of iniquity. What makes it mysterious? Okay, iniquity. We know what iniquity is, but what makes it mysterious? It looks right. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Okay, and you can repeat a lie 1,000 times, it's still a lie. But a Marxist method is you repeat a lie, repeat it, and then people will believe it. Okay, so the mystery of iniquity is, and I believe this takes us into the mystery of Babylon the Great, which was an astonishment to John, is you have a professing Christian church promoting this evil, the Catholic Church. Mystery of Babylon the Great. You know, the Catholic Church is amazing, the hold they have on people. Now, communists teach that if you have a child from birth to 7, you got them for life. And generally speaking, that is true, but the gospel is stronger than that. Okay, and the same is hold with the Catholic Church. Now, another thing about the Catholic Church that is very powerful is the rosary is an incantation. It's a hypnotic thing. And so they're bringing spirits, and those spirits are what blinds them and holds them in. It's like a hook in. So this is the big, strong thing. In the Catholic Church, like in Costa Rica, you know, they don't question the mask. They don't question it. Why? Because you don't question a priest. Okay, that little black Madonna stone was out in the woods and it came to this person's house and it went back to the woods. And we don't question that story. And 3 million Costa Ricans will take that 22-kilometer hike to go see. Well, last year they got away with it. They did a virtual one. Boy, I bet you that's going to catch on this year. Forget the walk, man. Let's just look at it on the screen. They don't question that. You know, and when Brent and I, we'd go to certain places, you know, they do not joke about the mask. There's no laughing with those people about the mask. Pull it down. And I mean, there's just no joker with them. And so that's that Catholic mentality. It is the mysterious thing of how many of them, what would a Catholic individual do? What will they do when they discover the Pope is a pedophile? They've been hiding this for years. And they've been trafficking in children for years. What are they going to do with that? I'll bet you most of them won't do anything with it. You know, when a mother wants her little son, a 9-year-old son, to be an altar boy and gets messed around with, is that going to change her faith? I would hope so. I was writing back and forth a kid who was studying to be a priest. And we got a correspondence about that thick. And then I finally leveled with him. I said, hey, maybe you'll wake up when you get propositioned. He wrote back, I already have. I would have like said, I'm out of here. But that's that satanic hook that has him. And so the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Okay. Let, oh, so difficult, archaic, out of date. We don't talk like that. Well, you ever watch a tennis game, tennis match? They use the word let. And there's nothing difficult about this. We allow the Bible to define the word for us. If you would, try Romans chapter 1, verse 13. Okay, some English words have opposite meanings. The context helps us to understand it. Okay, there are some Spanish words that a certain dialect, you might say this word and it turns into a very bad word. Okay, and I think Brent is, there's a fellow in a language school, he's been coming to Brent's church and his Spanish is just atrocious. And so he has him do the announcements and all the people are looking at Brent like, what's he saying? And I think he said a word, or maybe Brent said a word, and they're like, and he said, I didn't mean that word. I didn't mean that one. I guess it was a bad word. And so the word let, like in English, some words have opposite meanings. Cleave. Husband and wife cleaves. But if you cleave the tail of the mouse as he runs up the thing, you're separating. Okay, let means to allow. Okay, that's how we use it, but it also can mean to not allow or to hinder. Romans 1:13, in the parentheses, but was let hitherto. So whatever he's talking about, this mystery, but was let hitherto, was it allowed or was it hindered? Okay, cross-reference, Romans 15, 22. Okay, so in the Romans 1, Paul did not want them to be ignorant that he was trying to get back to them to help disciple them in the faith. And he said, I was let. Romans 15, 22, for which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. See, so there it is. Just think, you didn't have to take time to look at Strong's Concordance and try to guess which one of the words it was. The book's amazing. Okay, so what was let hitherto until he be taken out of the way? The he be taken out of the way, again, some would feel that's the Holy Ghost. Okay, I would dare say is the taken away of the flesh of the man of sin so the son of perdition can fulfill his task. That's what I would lean. I'm not going to fuss with anybody about it. A lot of times I believe you ought to throw out two or three options, what you think it could be. Let people choose. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. And so you can lead a man to truth, but you can't make him think. And so a teacher brings you to the door of light, the light of the door, but it's you that's got to walk through the door. Okay, and so I believe that's what we're required to do. So in verse 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed. Okay, it's an uppercase W. It's personifying wicked. But when we read the word wicked, of course, in our mind, because of the English language, that wicked, that Gail Ripperinger explains that, how that's written, the D and the K. Okay, where it's a hard sound. Wicked. Okay, and so that comes with that sound. It's a personified. But when we see that word, we think evil, rightfully so. But the wicked here will be revealed as the most debonair, charismatic, loving, God-fearing leader, all the answers for all the world, peace, honor. People will fall in love with him. Yeah, where they turn their ears away from the truth and have itching ears for the motivational speakers. Yeah, that's true. Okay, so then he's gonna the Bible, meaning King James Bible, is gonna reveal how the wicked will appear good. So in verse 8, when the Lord shall consume, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Okay, he jumped. How many years did he jump by on us? When shall the wicked be revealed? Comma. The Lord's going to judge him. That's Revelation 19. But what about from Revelation 6 to 19? Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. How will Satan work? Gothics. No. Anton LaVey's Satanic Bible. No. How do you deceive Christians? With Anton LaVey's Bible? No. You gotta have sheep. With all power and signs and lying wonders. The apostolic gifts. The apostolic gift, that's what's getting the Pentecostals today. That's the big problem Brent has in Costa Rica. It's the Penties. They call them Penties. Okay, because of that emotional tie. The apostolic gifts, the signs, tongues. That's getting them today. But in the trib, the Antichrist is going to be able to heal people. And the healing techniques are really coming out, becoming out into the forefront. There's some more stuff, kind of, you know, if you want to go down that rabbit hole about these beds that's going to be broken out, coming out here in a year if it happens. Just amazing things coming out if it happens. So here, though, is the working of Satan and the signs. Of course, we know the Sabbath is a sign. Tongues are a sign. The gifts of healing are signs. These are sign gifts between God and Israel. Okay, and so in 2 Corinthians, it says that Satan will transform himself into apostles of Christ. So when somebody claims to have apostolic gifts, apostolic succession, a Bible reader right off the bat says, "Oh, I know you're lying to me. You may be nice, you may look good, you may smell good and all this stuff, but you're lying to me. You're lying through your eye teeth to me." Okay, and if you call it out, then other Christians say, "Oh, you're so mean. You should have grace. This guy's trying to pickpocket you." A pickpocket. We had Brother Delmer got pickpocketed years ago. The guy bumped into him, and he takes off, and Brother Delmer checked his wallet. Oh, it's still there. He gets home, and the wallet was empty. The guy was so good, he pickpocketed, got the money out, put it back in his pocket. Now, is that not a good pickpocket? Wow. When I was a kid, Mom and I was shopping up. Is that the village they used to call it? The village up there? We were shopping up there. I was probably 10, you know, going with Mom shopping, you know. And we get home and her wallet's missing. Somebody pickpocketed us up there. And she's praying, "Oh, please give me my..." It didn't... The money, okay, but all the identification paper. This guy was a nice thief. He put her wallet or purse in a box, in our mailbox. Didn't mail it to us, just put it in our box. Got all the identification back. I mean, what thieves would do that today? That was a nice thief, I guess you could say. Maybe that's a Christian thief. Hopefully he tithed on his benefits. So in verse 10 or 9, it shows the workings of Satan. And then Revelation 13:13, he's going to be able to heal them, the gift of healing. Okay, so now, you know, being in the alternative health, the things that we study a lot, you're going to come across New Agey stuff. And we've been in some of these places where we got the benefit of it, but when we're leaving, we cleansed ourselves from the devils that maybe was around. You know, and so we, you know, devil's got to speak the truth. How would they deceive if they don't have some truth? Okay, then verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. So notice they received not. So it wasn't that they were ignorant. They had the opportunity. Let's try Hosea 4 verse. This is probably, you know, there are some verses that are well known, used often. Hosea 4 verse 6, and I'm sure we've all seen this. For my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Okay, we've probably all seen that, and that's a very a generic statement where you could use in any realm. Okay, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And I think whenever I've seen that quote, that's all I've seen. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Well, if we keep reading, they're destroyed for lack of knowledge, and it's not that they didn't have the opportunity to the knowledge. They rejected it. Because you keep reading, it says, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I also will reject thee. And then further he goes to the nation of Israel, what's going to happen to them? Okay, they rejected the knowledge. They had the opportunity. The atheist cannot profess that he didn't know. Because Romans 1 said he does know. Okay, and they don't have, Americans do not have an excuse. Well, you could turn on radio anywhere in this country and hear a gospel message somewhere. It might be watered down, but at least it might be enough to get the interest. Okay, and so heavy lays on Americans' head. Heavy Christian foundation. Wow. And so here he says, they received not the love of the truth they might be saved. Now, when they did that, verse 11, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion. Now, notice it doesn't say God is the one that deludes them or deceives them. He sends it. And next week we'll show how that's done. If you want to read it, it's in 2 Kings 22, maybe 1 Kings. One of them two. 1 Kings, 2 Kings 22. 1 Kings 22 with Ahab. So we'll stop there and go ahead and pray. Lord, I do thank you for your words, and I do pray that you'd help us to be diligent students of your word so that we can overcome deception. And I just pray you'd help us to be faithful in that task. In Jesus' name, amen.